Hello, and welcome to KBIA's Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Coming up later in the show, we'll hear from political science professor Terry Smith with his take on the Republican National Convention and some reaction from his students, many of which will be voting for the first time this year. But first, Judge William Ray Price Jr. served on the Missouri Supreme Court for 20 years, including two terms as Chief Justice. Price left the high court last month to return to private practice. During his time on the Supreme Court, Judge Price was a staunch supporter of Missouri's drug courts and argued the state puts too many nonviolent offenders in prison. Maria Altman spoke with the judge about why it's important to seek alternatives to prison and other issues facing Missouri courts.
When we put people in jail, it costs us an extraordinary amount of money, and they generally don't get better just for being in jail. A better alternative is to save money not putting them in jail and give them the type of rehabilitation programs, drug and alcohol treatment they need to return as productive members of society. Drug courts have shown that at a far lower cost, we can have a far better result, that is, less people who get in trouble again.
And Missouri's really been a leader nationally in terms of drug courts. What more can the state do?
The drug courts that are across the state generally indicate to us that they could increase their scope by a factor of two if they had the resources. So we need to fully fund them to scale so they can do all the good that they're set up to do. We also need to take that concept and expand it to other areas where it's not just people who have drug problems, but people with mental health problems and other kind of problems can be treated outside at a third of the cost and far better results. You know, really what I'm saying is we need cost-benefit analysis like in any business. You look and say, what's the goal of the criminal justice system? Is it to put people in jail or is it to make a safer, better society for you and me?
Public defenders have been in the news quite a bit, especially with their caseloads and the recent decision by the Supreme Court in saying that the judge in Christian County should not have appointed a public defender when their protocol said that they'd reached their caseload limit. How do you think Missouri in the long term is going to balance that constitutional requirement of defendants having representation but also having competent representation?
Well, you know, this is kind of the flip of the coin that we've just been talking about. If you're looking at people, putting people into jail, it's a very expensive system. You have to pay for their lawyer if that's what you're after. So the more people we charge, the more public defenders we have to hire to represent them. Our tax dollars are precious. We want a very safe community. How do we get the safest community possible at the lowest expense? So really what the movement is and what I've been trying to do is say, look at the offender. What's caused this person to get in trouble? What's the cheapest way that I can get the highest likelihood that this person won't get in trouble again? And then do that, not just look at the number of years we put somebody in jail as a measure of justice.
Have you seen a shift in the legislature and among politicians who have, you know, typically been tough on crime as a selling point for them in thinking about those things?
Yes, there's been a tremendous shift in the legislature. Just this year, we had a criminal reform statute passed that would move more in the direction we're talking about. There's a much farther way to go, but they are starting to go that way.
Last question. Do judges make enough money in Missouri?
You know, that's a difficult thing. If you compare it to what ordinary people make, we do pretty well. If you compare it to what most lawyers make, judges don't get paid well at all. So I advocated and we got a raise for our judges 2 years ago that went into effect this year. But we aren't even close to what good lawyers make now. So it impacts our ability to get the best people.
That was Judge William Ray Price Jr. speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Maria Altman. Judge Price left the Missouri Supreme Court last month to return to private practice. Now we'll hear again from Terry Smith, who teaches political science at Columbia College and is a regular contributor to Talking Politics. This week, the Republican National Convention.
Clint Eastwood at the Republican Convention. At the end of one of those movies, Dirty Harry said, a man's got to know his limitations. Eastwood should have taken his character's advice. What were the Republicans thinking? To the main story, Paul Ryan. Just kidding, the vice presidential nominee hasn't mattered since 1960, when Lyndon Johnson carried Texas and won the presidency for John Kennedy, and I don't expect that 52-year string to be broken in 2012. I asked the students in my American Political Parties class at Columbia College to watch Mitt Romney's acceptance speech and to email me their reactions. Was it successful, and did it change their minds about him? This exercise is interesting because, for most of them, it will be their first time voting, and the first vote often casts a long shadow. Of the six who responded, four went into the speech with a negative attitude about Romney. One said it was, quote, a dud, but there were some high points, so give him some credit. Another said the speech was directed to older middle-class people and not people in her situation. Two said they had not thought about voting for him but are thinking about it now. Two went in as supporters. One liked Romney before but now loves him. The other is more positive than before but thought he pandered to women and immigrants. Did I think it was successful and did it change my mind? It was a professional, somewhat wooden speech. This stands to reason, since apparently Romney wrote most of it himself. Mitt Romney will rarely be confused with Bill Clinton or even George Bush in his ability to loosen up and connect with people. Actually, he reminds me of Al Gore in that regard. That would have been an interesting debate, Mitt Romney and Al Gore. Viewers would have injured themselves rushing to their TV sets to switch to the Food Channel where they could see some actual excitement. But I digress. I listened to Morning Edition on KBIA after the speech. Predictably, I heard lots of fact-checking and deep analysis. It's what NPR does and does well. But Romney doesn't and shouldn't care about what NPR thinks. He had two goals. One was to get a few million Americans to think that guy could be president of the United States, maybe better than the other guy. The other was to motivate the Republican base to get those people to the polls on November 6. I think he accomplished both goals. The question is, will enough of those people turn out and vote for him? Next week, I'll tell you what my students say about President Obama's acceptance speech.
That was Terry Smith, Executive Vice President and Dean of Academic Affairs at Columbia College and a regular contributor to Talking Politics. That's it for the show this week. I'm Ryan Femuliner. Thanks for listening.